Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
These websites were designed to appear to American readers as if they were major U.S. news sites like the Washington Post or Fox News. But in fact, they were fake sites.
This is such a... It's not that weird, but it is weird. You have the Department of Justice yesterday announcing that it has disrupted Russian foreign malign influence campaigns that they are calling doppelganger. You know, the word doppelganger just means a fake lookalike of something or an imitation of something that sought to spread Russian government propaganda in order to reduce international support for Ukraine, increase pro-Russia policies, and manipulate voters in the U.S. and elsewhere. And there's two different cases here. The doppelganger case is where these websites were set up, dozens of them were set up and looked like, if you clicked on it, it looked like the Washington Post website, or it looked like Fox News or CBS or, you know, whoever. But the actual articles that were carried there were fake. They were maybe not all of them. I mean, they might have linked back to real, news sources, but they were meant to be fake ones to make you think, oh, it's fake news. And so what would happen is you'd have, accounts that would publicize these fake news links as if they were real, and then people would click on them, and they'd be digesting Russian disinformation as if it were from the Washington Post, which is also scary because it means that people can't tell the difference between reading Russian disinformation and reading the Washington Post. But okay, all right. I mean, you know, fair enough. It's designed to be deceptive. Also, just a side note, Washington Post has a paywall. But apparently people didn't know that either and didn't, you know, so, I mean, Fox News doesn't have a paywall, so, you know, whatever. The Department of Justice says it seized 32 internet domains and named Russian companies Social Design Agency, Structura National Technology, and Dialogue as being involved in the effort, which was spawned by, you want to take a guess? Who? Name a name? Anybody who's involved in this closely? Vladimir Putin's inner circle, including First Deputy Chief of Staff of the President, Executive Office, Sergei Vladilenovich, Kiryenko, among others. And there's another announcement that they made yesterday. My understanding is these are separate cases, which has to do with Russia Times, RT, a state-owned media, a $10 million scheme to create and distribute content to U.S. audiences while keeping the connection to Russia hidden, as in not disclosing the sources, which would be a foreign influence campaign and campaign finance, I may be violations, but in any case, a foreign influence campaign and the link to Russia is what needs to be disclosed, and that never was. As one of the quotes from Attorney General Merrick Garland yesterday, the American people are entitled to know when a foreign power is attempting to exploit our country's free exchange of ideas in order to send around its own propaganda. And true. Okay, so good news, I guess. We caught some and stopped some. How much more is out there? Well, you know, a lot. 6:13 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this is a teeny tiny story, but I found it weirdly captivating. It's definitely not something that has made very much news. But you know how you have certain countries that are not particularly fond of the free speech? Like loads of them, right? Well, Iran, you may have heard, is not particularly fond of the free speech. So you have in Iran, you have an Iranian writer who is now getting 12 years in jail. And you say, for what? Well, for a social media post. You say, what was the content of the post? Well, I'll tell you since you asked. He tweeted a period. You know, a dot. He tweeted a dot. And in June, 35-year-old Shan Behada was arrested in Ardabil, northwestern Iran. And his family wasn't too sure why he was arrested. And he wasn't too sure why he was arrested. But the supreme leader, he who shall never be challenged, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, had made a post about one of the sports teams there. And I think it was the volleyball team of all people who, you know, had been in the Olympics. And they had put up a post about the volleyball team. And this Iranian writer commented with a period. The original post drew, what's the number here? 7,000 likes. So Ali Khamenei and his bots got 7,000 likes. Jose and Shenbada, I don't know his name. His period got 14,000 likes and was interpreted as shade, was interpreted as commentary, as criticism. And in Iran, you don't do the criticism. So he got arrested, sentenced to 5 years for alleged pro-Israel propaganda activity, 4 years for insulting Islamic sanctities, 2 years for, can you imagine living in a place where the leaders are considered sanctities and you can't criticize them and you get thrown in jail for criticizing them? Like, what if our county commissioners? Or then again, what if they engage in lawsuits to punish people who, whatever. We're not Iran. Not really. Totally. All the time. But it's still, it's a big difference. In degree, not kind. 2 years for spreading lies online and an additional year for anti-regime propaganda. So they're appealing. Good luck. But yeah, posted a single dot in reply to Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei's tweet. That comment liked far more, and he had been jailed previously in 2019 during protests for insulting the sanctities and the leader of the Islamic Republic. So maybe not Iran as your destination for, you know, anything. But
now, if you remember the other day, the young lady said, no periods. Don't do a period. Remember, commas were okay. So I think that that's what...
Okay, so he's just hip with the younger crowd.
Right.
He reads that as aggressive, and they're... Interesting. If perhaps he had tweeted a comma?
Maybe.
Or a parenthesis? Or something innocuous like, say, a dash?
Right.
Instead of the super aggressive period, then he wouldn't even be... It's his own fault. Clearly not that the Iranian regime tries to suppress speech or even punctuation.
Or his youngest... kid got a hold of it, hit send. Oh, daddy, look what I did, daddy.
I hope that's not the case. Tell them about traffic this morning, John.
That's right. We've got an accident on Highway 29 going north just below West Roberts Road. Thank you for the tip on that. Ambulance and fire truck are on the scene, and car is in the median, so traffic is looking okay there. Just a minor slowdown. Now, if you're going to I-10 eastbound, you know, the new ramp off of Highway 29, well, it's actually the northbound ramp. But anyway, you look at it, it's that little curve. You've got an accident there that's delaying. Oh, nope. It just got cleared up. So good news on that. And traffic is just about a 5-minute delay there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Thanks so much, John. If you are considering whether it is time to sell the home, take out some equity, or just, you know, move into something else, maybe you're selling and buying, you want to make sure to get the best price selling and the best price buying, right? That's why you hire a good realtor. And you do. You hire a realtor, right? Because they get paid money. And in fact, now with the changing of the law in regards to how realtor fees work, it might make a big difference in how you shop or how you think about selling a home, right? And those are good questions to ask, and I don't have good answers for you. But Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they do. They do this all the time, and they will have good answers for you. And they'll help you ask even better questions than you were going to ask on your own, which is, again, part of the job of a good realtor. So when you're thinking about hiring a realtor, if you have a friend who does realtor, that's fine. You know, I don't mind you including them on your list. They're your friend. But just be open to the possibility that it might be somebody else that might do better for you, and do an interview or two. Talk to a couple, three people and see who you think is going to best represent your interests, who shows the most competence, and then you decide, right? That's just making a good adult decision. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 723-9158.
Wade Men's Health exists for guys who get it done. Let's talk, fellas. You solve problems all day at work. You fix your sink when it's broken. But when it comes to ED and low T, it doesn't get done. We get it. You hate going to the doctor, but you're the guy that fixes things. At Wade Men's Health, there's nothing to fear and no reason to delay. We've been destroying bedroom boredom for years. Our friendly, discreet team of urologists and providers will take the time to listen. So if you haven't fixed this, call us. When the pills fail, call us. If you feel like you've tried everything, call us. Here, there's hope from the conventional to the next level. Imagine finally taking care of this with no surgery. Imagine going from feeling gray to living life in vibrant color. It's time to be confident. Join the thousands of guys who have found success after walking through our doors. Will you be one of them? Dial 850-266-7020 or go to WaveMensHealth.com to schedule a $99 male performance consultation, including blood work. Do it for you. Do it for her. WaveMensHealth.com. Book your appointment now.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in today at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Football season's here, so let All Season Service Network tackle your HVAC issues, and you can focus on enjoying the game. All Season Service Network's special financing offer requires zero down on all new American Standard heating and air conditioning systems. Subject to credit approval, see dealer for details. And with 24/7 emergency service, you never have to burn up. All Season Service Network, keeping your home comfortable for the past 50 years and counting, so you never have to miss a moment of the game. Call now or visit online, allseasonservicenet.com.
Trek Bicycle Store of Pensacola is the area's premier bicycle store and full-service repair shop for all makes and models. They specialize in top-notch customer service with the largest selection of e-bikes around. Trek Store has a full line of bike accessories and racks and can fit all riders from a child's first to seniors. Locally owned and operated by Robbie Mott, serving cyclists for over 20 years, you'll experience the best at Trek Bicycle Store of Pensacola, 701 East Cervantes Street, and online at TrekStoreGulfCoast.com.
FSU football fans, the big watch party is at Calvert's in the Heights. Calvert's is FSU football watch party central, featuring large screen TVs, clear sound, free parking, and of course, your FSU Seminoles. Join your friends and fans and cheer on the team with FSU drink specials, a full food menu, and the best water view around. Thinking football? Think Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway, online and on Facebook. Go Noles, go!
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm not a spy. I'm nothing. I'm Naval Lent.
Why don't you show me, move a bit closer? I know you wanna, baby, come over. I whisper in your ear, little mama. If you want me to stay, I'ma need that thing to sway, 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 sway.
But let's stick with Donald Trump. His big announcement on IVF this week. He said Thursday he wants the government to pay for or force insurance companies to cover IVF. Is that something you would support, Senator?
Well, all Republicans, to my knowledge, support IVF in the Congress, and there's no state that prohibits or regulates IVF in a way that makes it inaccessible. It is expensive for many couples. I understand that. So it's something I'm open to, that most Republicans would be open to. I think we'd have to evaluate the fiscal impact, whether the taxpayer can afford to pay for this, what impact it would have on premiums. But in principle, supporting couples who are trying to use IVF or other fertility treatments, I don't think is something that's controversial at all.
Yeah, so this is kind of an interesting answer. This is Tom Cotton talking with Kristen Welker on Meet the Press. And Kristen Welker doing her typical, I wasn't thrilled with her performance job, but okay, it's fine. She's the one we got to work with. And Tom Cotton's position on this, remember, you know, Trump had said that we ought to make IVF available and, you know, fund it, okay, in vitro fertilization, right? Fertility treatments and, you know, creating an embryo outside of the womb, then implanting multiple embryos in the womb. Typically, this goes along with destroying embryos as part of the process. And that's why pro-lifers are typically not big fans of IVF, because a fertilized embryo is a life. It has unique DNA, and therefore you're a very, very, very early stage human is being destroyed in this process. It's not the implantation. It's not the fertilization. It's not the creating of life. That part's fine. If it didn't involve the destruction, pro-lifers wouldn't have any problem. It's weird, though, for Tom Cotton to say there's no controversy about this, because there most definitely is controversy about it, partially about IVF itself. And then, of course, if you have public funding for it, that's additional controversy. And saying there's, you know, the only question is how we pay for it, I think he's just plain wrong. Then again, you know, as I've explained many times, Donald Trump has grabbed hold of the Republican Party and yanked it to himself from being a socially conservative, typical traditional conservative to being I don't know what his position is exactly, but he doesn't have any problem with debt, and he doesn't have any problem, you know, look at his policies, and he doesn't have any problem with, you know, social issues that conservatives typically are concerned about. And he's not an interventionist. He's somewhat of a soft isolationist, but a strong military. So where does that put him on the scale? I don't know, but it's a weird place. 625 on News Radio 92.3. We've got John Pickens with traffic on the fives. John?
Well, no accidents to let you know about that are going to slow you down. But if you're at the intersection of Fairfield and Palafox, you're going to see some delays at the light and then heading southbound on Palafox and even northbound on Palafox. Seeing those delays also. Other than that, traffic looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Into the newsroom now where David Wayne has got our headlines. David?
Well, Republican Liz Cheney is now officially endorsing Kamala Harris.
No, president. No. You messed it up. You didn't explain properly who Liz Cheney is. Let NBC News explain to us, okay, before we continue with this story. You'll appreciate this.
According to former Congressman Liz Cheney, Donald Trump is the one who's dangerous. The prominent conservative said that last night.
See, you failed to mention that Liz Cheney is a prominent conservative.
I did.
I mean, not among any conservatives that I know.
I did not mention that. That is true.
This is the classic example of what a lot of people would call a rhino. But, you know, okay, I mean, whatever. You know, so anyway, I just want to make sure that we didn't lose sight of the flair around Liz Cheney being apparently a prominent leader, so prominent that didn't she lose her primary? Anyway, go ahead, David. Say what you're gonna say.
I appreciate your eye for accuracy and making sure we get the proper context there. She is now endorsing Kamala Harris for president. We heard from the Justice Department yesterday, Andrew, that Russian media are being charged after allegedly trying to influence the 2024 election. Well, Russia has responded. They now say they are going to retaliate against American media members in response. So I hope you're not planning to go to Russia anytime soon.
Well, I wasn't. I'm not. It's not where I would recommend that anybody go. It's a good reminder, though, that, you know, journalism in foreign countries is not a risk-free business.
Absolutely not.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So what they're upset about is that we caught them lying and using money to manipulate American elections and disinform the American people. And so they're going to retaliate against people who tell the truth.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we're upset that they're lying about us. They're upset that we're telling the truth about them. So, you know, whatever. I mean, you know, that's
so
how tyrants behave,
right?
Might
be a bad time to be an American war correspondent covering Ukraine.
Yeah, cover from the Ukraine side.
And then, did you see this yesterday? Distant relatives of Tim Walz are now going viral. They apparently all had T-shirts made up that said, Walz is for Trump, and posted them. It got posted on some arm of the Trump campaign.
I feel like they've missed a branding opportunity. Build the Walz.
Something
in that vicinity seems like that would be the way to go. But okay, Walz is for Trump. Huh?
Walz is for Trump. Yeah, apparently they're actually distant relatives of Tim Walz, but okay. They all are on the Trump train.
By the way, nice job saying his name right, and I cannot do it properly. I've did it following you, so you led me into the right pronunciation.
It is a difficult pronunciation.
It's Walz, not Waltz.
And coming from me, the king of mispronunciations, you know.
Well,
I'm amazed at myself.
Well done. 628 on News Radio 92.3. This is kind of an interesting note from Secretary of the Navy Del Toro talking with Defense One, one of my sort of relatively recent, maybe a couple years ago, found good websites on military matters. In an effort to cut down on the cost of military procurement in the Navy, one of the things that he says he wants to do is change a policy or a habit that those who provide material to the Navy, you know, military industrial contractors, what they have historically done is they'll provide the platform, you know, the plane or the ship or the weapon system, but then they retain the technical data to support the aircraft, for example, or the ship, because they want to be in charge of the ongoing service, upgrade, retrofit, whatever, you know, afterwards goes on. And he says, that's dumb and expensive. In the future, if you're going to sell us, particularly talking about aircraft, he says, in the past, the major components of an aircraft acquisition contract were price per aircraft and number of aircraft. requiring delivery of technical data to support the aircraft was typically of secondary importance to leadership, and if included at all, subject to suboptimal terms for the Department of Navy. Not anymore. The Department of Navy contracting workforce now has leadership's clear guidance that acquiring technical data rights is a must-have in our acquisition contracts because that will keep down the ongoing costs of upgrading, maintaining, and retrofitting any of those weapons or, you know, again, weapons or ships or planes. Yeah, I mean, he's basically realizing that they didn't make money on the VCR, they made the money on the tapes. And he's saying, you don't get to make all that money on the tapes. It's costing us too much money. If you want to do business with us, you got to sell us kind of the IP to go along with maintaining the system over time.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. Two 14-year-old boys and two teachers are dead. Eight students and a teacher are injured in yesterday's high school shooting in Winder, Georgia. A 14-year-old suspect is being charged as an adult. Former President Trump and Vice President Harris.
It's a sick and angry world for a lot of reasons, and we're going to make it better.
We have to end this epidemic of gun violence in our country once and for all.
Trump on Fox in Pennsylvania, Harris in New Hampshire. Russia's foreign ministry says the Biden administration is trying to scare voters by accusing Russian-controlled media outlet RT of election interference.
The American people are entitled to know when a foreign power is attempting to exploit our country's free exchange of ideas in order to send around its own propaganda.
Attorney General Merrick Garland. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got a cloudy and rainy kind of day here in Pensacola, 73 degrees right now. Senator Rick Scott says his heart is broken for the families of those killed in Georgia yesterday by what he's calling a deranged monster. A 14-year-old boy shot two students and two teachers to death at Appalachie High School in Winder, Georgia yesterday. Senator Scott wrote on X that he knows from experience with the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting what a devastating level of grief it is, and says it's something that nobody should have to experience. Family members say they want a doctor that accidentally removed William Bryan's liver to be held responsible for that mistake. That allegedly happened at Ascension Sacred Heart Emerald Coast in Miramar Beach. Bryan and his widow, Beverly, were on vacation in Destin when he had pains and was admitted to the hospital.
I tried to convince Dr. Shaknosky to let me take him home or arrange for him to be transported, but Dr. Shaknosky said that Bill would bleed to death if he was moved.
And that is the widow, Beverly, there. She tells Channel 3 they took her husband into surgery and were supposed to remove his spleen, but instead removed his liver. He then bled to death in the operating room. The family has hired Pensacola attorney Joe Zarzar and say they intend to sue. They also want Dr. Thomas Shaknosky to be held liable on criminal charges in the case. Zarzar says the doctor reported the incident as if Bryan died from a complication of the spleen surgery, not from having the wrong organ removed. The Walden County Sheriff's Office is investigating the case. The final vote on bringing the SS United States to Okaloosa County as a new artificial reef in the Gulf has been delayed by a few more weeks. The Okaloosa Board of Commissioners deciding to put that off for 2 weeks to work out some issues with the pier operators that currently have the ship. County staff are now working to iron out all of those details. That item will be making its way back to the Okaloosa Board of County Commissioners for a vote on September 12th. Good news for some of the lowest earners in the state. Florida's minimum wage is going up again this month. The state's minimum wage will go up to $12 an hour for non-tipped employees and $8.98 for tipped employees. The new increase has minimum wage going to $13 an hour for non-tipped employees and $9.98 for tipped employees. The prosecutor in Alec Baldwin's Rust trial asking the judge to reconsider her ruling. The actor was accused of accidentally shooting and killing the cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of a film in New Mexico in 2021. Back in July, the judge dismissed the trial. Now the lead prosecutor in the case asking the judge to repeal that ruling, saying grounds for the dismissal were irrelevant to the case. And the Pine Forest High School, one of 50 schools now across the nation, receiving a special $5,000 grant from T-Mobile to support their football program called the Friday Night 5G Lights Program. The school receiving that money, they can use that on new equipment, sports gear, or transportation to and from their games. The school also is in the running now for a grand prize, which could include a $100,000 grant, equipment upgrades in the weight room, and a new scoreboard, as well as a tailgate party for the football team. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
Brought to you by White Sands Electric, providing comprehensive electrical and generator services along the Gulf Coast since 1997. Free estimates are available. WhiteSandsElectric.com. Not seeing any accidents that are going to stop your way in, but we are seeing some delays if you're heading over to East Milton from downtown Milton. Right there, you're seeing a minor delays too. Also, if you're coming from Payson to Pensacola on Highway 90 through that construction zone, you're going to see small delays there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And thank you very much, John. Take a look at our weather. We are expecting a little bit of a cloudy and rainy day today with a high temperature up in the mid-80s. Right now we do have 73 degrees in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, 77 in Milton. Taking a look at our market report this morning.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Volvo Cars has slashed its margin and revenue ambitions for a second time this year today. The news comes just a day after it abandoned its EV-only target as the impact of tariffs and reduced demand for EVs continue to hurt. Volvo Cars lowered its target for operating profit margin to between 7 and 8% from above the original 8. It also scrapped a sales goal of up to roughly $58 billion. A creditor has filed a petition for the bankruptcy of a unit of China Evergrande New Energy Vehicle Group, a subsidiary of China Evergrande Group, in a Shanghai court. This is the third such petition against the embattled car company. Trading of the company's shares were suspended yesterday after the price dropped nearly 5.5%. Futures are mixed. Wednesday, the Dow Industrials gained 38, the NASDAQ down 52, and the S&P 500 down 8. Once again, futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? That's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. That's the sound of over $20 billion in new investments to produce EVs and batteries in Michigan. And that's the silence of Michigan's new En-ROAD wireless charging system. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Mom, meet Sarah.
From first-time Nana moments.
Yeah, welcome to Flight 101.
To annual girls' trip moments. Your can't-miss moments are worth protecting against RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60-plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV. And there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at VaxAssist.com.
So where should we go next?
Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hi, neighbors. This is Colton Wright, Santa Rosa County Commissioner for District 5. I want to take this opportunity to thank you for allowing me to serve you for the past 4 years. Thank you for having faith in me and showing your support during this primary election. I'll continue to use common sense and build strong relationships to ensure that we have a professional and productive board. Let's move forward. The future is bright for Santa Rosa County.
The RNC and the DNC set the presidential candidates. And News Radio's Andrew McKay and Bobby Rossi attended both.
I proudly accept your nomination for President of the United States. Thank you.
I accept your nomination to be President of the United States of America.
No one covers the election like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Also heard on 95.3, AM 1620, and our mobile app.
I see what you did there, John. Well done. Well done. Since Eric Gilmore is the director of public safety in Escambia County, which oversees EMS, and he's a volunteer firefighter going back a long time, and I see what you did there. Eric Gilmore, as I said, is the aforementioned director of public safety. Joins us now by phone. Eric, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News. You stepper into the ring of fire person.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for having me, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. A lot of stuff to get to with you. I create these lists of the next time I interview such and such, I add a question and I add a question. I've got like 12 things on my list for you. So, and you and I talk fast, so it'll be good. The first one, though, the reason this morning in particular is because the Escambia County Commission is going to take up a question later on today in the afternoon meeting, writing off, or not really writing off, but transferring ownership of the $10 million in bad uncollectible debt for EMS, right?
That's correct. And that, I guess, bad debt write-off is a negative term, right? So that is correct. That is coming up. Two things that happened this time of year. One is the height of the hurricane season and bad debt write-off for it. So,
right.
But what it is individuals, and it's a 12-month cycle. So we respond to you. We transport you to the hospital. We send you the bill. We don't receive funds. So we work with you for 12 months. We call you. We send you letters. We ask you to call in so we can put you on a payment plan. We do whatever we can to help get the bill paid. And after 12 months, if we can't get anything collected, then we send it to a debt collection service. So it's not writing it off. It's sending it to a third-party debt collection service where we won't get the full amount. We get a percentage of what they collect for us on our behalf. So that's what that is. It's like a credit card company. You don't pay your credit card, they send you to a debt collection after they tried to reconcile with you. And they go from there. So that's what it is. And it's around $10 million. Mm-hmm. And it's about the same as it was last year, honestly. So we didn't go up and we didn't drop it, unfortunately. But we're within the national average. About 18-20% is a national average. And we're right there in the national average of what, ambulance services are seeing for debt collection on ambulance transports.
And we had one year where it was really bad in 2020 where it was pushing 45%. We've had other years that were more like 12%.
Yes.
And it fluctuates quite a bit, 9, 5, 7, 10, $10 million over the last 5 years, which, by the way, I appreciate that you included in the material backup for the meeting today some of these comparisons and histories. That really helps. And this is one of those issues where, I'm certainly willing to criticize the county commission when they deserve it. This is an issue where they got a lot of criticism, and I don't think they deserve it. This is pretty normal in the industry. It's hard to collect debts, especially when there's no upfront restriction on using the service. Anybody can call EMS 911. Anybody can get a transport. And then you're tasked with collecting on people who are homeless or people who are drug addicts or people who simply have no means to pay, right? And you can't really send Lenny and Buster down with their batons to collect. Like, you have only certain things you can do, and then you got to send the debt to somebody else, right?
No, that's absolutely correct, Andrew. And I'm not going to sit there and put your name on a list, and when we pull up to your yard, we look at the list and go, oh, I'm sorry, you haven't paid
right.
in the last 12 months, so we can't provide you service. No, sir. We still provide the service. So you're absolutely right on that. It's just one of those unfortunate things as part of the business. It's the ugly side of the business that we don't get the money collected in, but it's something that has to be done. Because it's monetary, so it has to go to the board for approval because it is money and it's out there. It's something that we do annually. We can do it quarterly and make the number look small, but why? it is what it is. So, we just go from there.
Speaking of EMS, you got a new chief, right?
That's correct. Christopher Watts joined us almost 3 weeks ago now. So he's hit the ground running. I appreciate the energy he's brought to the organization. He's been out in the field for the last 2.5 weeks working with crews, getting his feet wet, meeting with community partners, doing all the things he's supposed to do as a chief to keep the relationships we have. We didn't have bad relationships. Just maintain relationships, let our partners know who he is, what he's about, and working with the crews. So I'm pretty excited about his energy he's brought to the group and what he's done so far in the last week, two and a half weeks.
It seems to me like the biggest gap right now in EMS, aside from all the logistical issues and coverages and wait times and all that, it seems to me like the biggest gap is trust. That the personnel, of course, the union voted no confidence. Chief Tarcell, he wound up having to leave eventually. What is Chief Watts doing to cultivate trust and build relationships so that that problem can be fixed?
Well, first and foremost is getting out with the crews and meeting the crews. So talking to the crews, running calls, getting on scene with them, meeting them at the hospital, those things like that. That way they see who he is. he can talk to him. If we got some downtime, he can talk to him and address him. But prior to that, Chief Stevens had already tried working on some of that stuff. Chief Stevens was out and about. We were meeting with the union leadership. Chief Watts has met with union leadership. So we want to have a good line of communication. Communication, that's going to be it right there. For the most part, if we communicate effectively, let our staff know what's happening, and work within those, work with the union and talk to those guys and sit down at the table and just be upfront. What are we doing? Where's our vision? Where we want to go? How we want to get there? And how we need the employees' help to get there to achieve the goal. So communication is going to be big.
You know, one of the other things, I know there's a public trust issue as well because of information flow and because of the wait times. And for a long time, I was reading the weekly director's report for Holic Safety, and it included, time held, number of calls held at different times of day, hospitals, what they were doing to divert and all of this. Then in January, that stopped being produced, and you and I have had conversations about what's the right way to report that data. How do you quantify the difference between waiting on, one delta versus five alphas, or, all of that kind of stuff? Can you at least maybe commit to me that we're going to find a way to report that information going forward so that we as the public can track? I mean, honestly, the ideal would even be on a website where we could see, here's how many calls, here's how we're doing. Because if there's not a metric, if you can't see it, it's hard to know it's being fixed, right?
Yeah, and you're right. And we'll work on that. But it's hard to – so when our dispatchers send fire out and say EMS is holding, and then, within 45 seconds of the unit frees up, was it really holding, or is it just a delay for 45 seconds?
I completely agree. Context matters tremendously. I completely agree.
Exactly. So there's some metrics we got to look at and some parameters. And we're also looking at some other things when you hear interfacility transfer. Well, an interfacility transfer is not always a freestanding. It could be a skilled nursing facility, assisted living facility, or something with a nursing staff, where they have metrics where they, a unwitnessed fall to them is a high priority call, and they call the patient's up talking, conscious, alert, but they have to ship them out. And we're looking at maybe utilizing some other services to try to handle those type calls, which would not put a burden on the home calls to the 911 or in the street type calls. So we're trying to clean some of those things up so we can get some good metrics and understand when we say we're holding calls, what are we truly holding?
Yeah, and I educate me, educate the public, teach us, be transparent, and so we can really understand, how to think about these things. Otherwise, it's, this guy who is a friend of mine in EMS says they're holding six calls, or, that's the problem you're up against is perception. But keeping people informed so that we can, track it and then know that we're making progress, which, of course, we all want to do. We're talking to Eric Gilmore, Director of Public Safety. Hang on just a second, Eric. We got traffic on the fives from John Pickens.
No accidents to let you know about right now, but if you're traveling through Navarre around the Navarre Park, you're going to see some delays there. Other than that, traffic's looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. We are in the middle of hurricane season. I know your heart is always, you're at your core, you're a volunteer firefighter and an emergency management guy. In fact, the governor has sent you all over the state to help them better manage the situations. And so we appreciate that and stay here. Okay, I've got a weird public safety question that I knew you would have an answer for. And it's one my wife actually asked. So if you drive into water, every once in a while people drive into water or they get caught in a flash flood. We, of course, have hurricanes, tropical storms, flash flooding happens. Don't drive in, turn around, don't drown, all that stuff. If people wind up in the water in their car and the windows are closed, if you're underwater, the pressure makes it so you cannot open the windows. It's a real problem for people in their cars and safety, and people drown because of this. The advice is, you got to break the window. Well, you can't break the window. It's too hard to break. So they make these little devices where it's like a hammer. You hit the window. And sometimes they come with a cut you can cut the safety belt as well.
Yeah.
The problem is, that's part one. Part two is a lot of cars are made with now shatterproof glass, safety glass, windshields. You can hit them a bunch and they're not going to break because of they don't want the windshield to break. And sometimes even side windows and sometimes rear windows. And so the question for you is, when people are thinking about this, if they want to think about the danger of that, how should they solve this problem?
Good question. So being in Florida, we have a lot of bodies of water, and you're absolutely right. We get a lot of flooding, and we are we have the most submerged vehicles deaths in the U.S. because of all our bodies of water, especially in all the canals in South Florida. So
right.
To overcome that, so once you get in the water, first and foremost, there is a period of time where the car will float. So if the car's floating, you're not going to be able to open your door against that pressure. You're absolutely right. So if you're able to, first and foremost, roll down the window first. You should be buckled up as well. You've got to survive the impact first. So unbuckle, roll down your window, and escape your vehicle or help anybody else. So if you in that floating period, if you can get the window down, get it down. But they also make those devices, as you said, if the window gets submerged or your window's underwater and it's pressure on the window, it's hard to roll down. The hammer is a good tool if you've got availability to swing it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to hit the center of the window. The windshields are, tempered laminated glass, so those are hard to come out. You want to hit the corner, the bottom corner of the window, not the center of the glass. That's where your pressure points are on the windows. And one of the best tools is a spring-loaded center punch. So that you don't have to swing anything, you just push the tool to it, and the spring in there makes a big popping mechanism. It pops the window in the bottom corner. So a spring-loaded center punch will be your best tool versus something swinging that you're trying to swing while you've got water and everything rushing in, and you're trying to think clearly.
You're panicked, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You just grab your tool, you go to the bottom corner of the window, and you push, and it pops. And it will break the glass. We use those tools all the time in vehicle extrication or MBAs that we run, and they're very good tools. So
I think of it as like a stomp, like you press it and it's just going to thwap the window basically and cause it to break. And it's interesting you mentioned the thing about being at the bottom of it, because you tell me if I'm wrong, the top of the window is going to have a lot more flex to it, whereas the bottom is going to have a lot more rigidity to it, and that's why striking it there, and as you say, swinging, you may not have the physical ability to swing, or there might be water in your way. That's why that kind of device is better. But do I have that kind of understand that right?
That is exactly right. So, like I said, a spring-loaded center punch, a very simple tool, easy to use, and everybody gets one of those things. You want to try it out, but I wouldn't go try that unless you're in a park.
Unless you really want to buy a new window.
Exactly.
All right. No, thank you. That really helps answer the question, and I know it may not be all that common of a thing, but like many things in public safety, as you said, this is a constant problem of a sort in Florida. And if we can save one life or two lives, it was well worth the time spent talking about it and thinking about it. One of the other things that I did want to ask you about is the status of the firehouse in Beulah. I know we kind of did a ribbon cutting, but it still wasn't quite operational yet. When will that come online? Do we know yet? What are we waiting for?
So I don't know the actual timeline on that one. We were waiting on bay doors. Good news was the bay doors were delivered last week. I drove out to Beulah yesterday. The company had two of the four bay doors installed on the front of the building, so that's coming along pretty good. There's a couple of odds and ends punch lists that they've got to do still, interior. But I suspect, I hate to give you a timeline.
Sure,
but
I know.
It's closer than it has been before, Andrew.
So's the baby delivery. It's closer,
Okay, fine.
I got you. All right, fair enough. Well, we're making progress, which is a good thing. Yeah. I don't know if you are involved in this, but one of the items on the agenda today is an active shooter notification system inside the Ernie Lee McGehee building downtown. Instead of just having a single alarm that doesn't say much, this would be a active shooter on the premises kind of alert. I know it's a more information systems people that came up with this, but were you involved in this at all? Is this something, you guys talked about this?
I was not involved in this.
Oh, okay.
It was risk management. Mark Bartlett and his crew did an analysis on the building and determined that we did not have a building-wide notification system.
Gotcha.
Of course, we got building-wide fire alarms. And, a fire alarm is not something you want to pull during an active shooter because you don't want to bring all the targets outside or muster in one area, right? So having a notification to the building, Mark Bartlett and risk management was in charge of that one.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, I'll look forward to the conversation. It might just be in a consent agenda, so we don't get much conversation about it, but I'm looking forward to that. Hey, I still have like half my list is left. We'll have to have you on some other time. There's always stuff I want to ask you. And even though you talk fast and I talk fast, we still never get through it all. But I did want to give you one plug minute here where you can talk about it is hurricane season. We are in the peak of it right now. And the new word is not 3 days, but 7 days, right?
That is correct. 1 week ready, sir. That's the slogan we're going with. And that's just for everybody to have their personal preparedness items ready, cases of water, non-perishable food items, things for your kid. Don't forget about your kids. Don't forget about your pets and your medications and your elderly. So make sure you've got a good supply of your medication. So we're asking everybody to be 1 week ready. And if you'll have those things and be prepared, it'll help us go a long way to get to recovery a lot faster, so we won't be doing a lot of responses. And that gives us time to get the pods in here, get things established, the resources for the public, and get things going back on track. So, yes, 1 week ready. We are getting into the high hurricane season. Thanks for bringing that up. There's several areas that we're watching out there. Nothing looks promising like it's going to develop anything, but you never know. Because we do get rapid intensification in the Gulf of Mexico. I want everybody to remember that something can just break into the Gulf, and it'll rapidly intensify like Hurricane Michael did. That one caught everybody off guard.
Yeah.
So it's time to be vigilant, time to make sure you're weather aware. And we are having, we'll have rain today and tomorrow due to a disturbance that kind of circulated off Texas. So we'll be seeing parts of that coming through the area today and tomorrow.
I'm gonna say it a way that you probably wouldn't say it, but I'm gonna hope you're gonna give me an amen when I'm all done. If your plan is it's not gonna be a big deal, you're gonna get rescued, there's gonna be shelter space available, that's not a plan. Or maybe I should say that is the same exact plan that dead people make.
Hope is not a plan, amen, Andrew. Thank you, sir.
Well, it's a morbid way to say it, but that's what we want people to think about. Have a plan, be informed, know what you're doing, and then don't get caught by surprise. Eric Gilmore, he is the Director of Public Safety for Escambia County. Always a great source of information and excellent leadership in our DPS. Eric, thank you so much for the time and for what you do, sir. I appreciate it.
Andrew, thank you, and thank you for getting the message out, and I appreciate you. Thanks, sir.
Always. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Just got a listener tip in that says there's an accident in front of the Ready Mix in Gonzales. Cars in the median, totally destroyed highway patrol zone scene. I'll get more information on that. But other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. Don't forget also, UWF traffic closes at 1:30 for the game. So be aware of that.
Yeah, they're closing the campus and business offices, and all classes are canceled after 1:30 today. So just be aware if you intended to be on campus after 1:30 that the only thing open is going to be the game.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Are you ready to ignite innovation and drive success in Pensacola? Join Startup Source Pensacola on September 12th for an Entrepreneur Resource Expo at Brownsville Community Center from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. This event is dedicated to empowering our local entrepreneurs and connecting them with essential resources and expertise. Whether you're an aspiring entrepreneur or an established business, come out to connect, share, collaborate. For more information, visit StartupSourcePensacola.com.
Summer season is here, and Florida's summers can really be hot. But despite the warm temperatures, your garden can still produce some beautiful flowers and delicious vegetables. Get all of your garden tips from me, Mike Wiggins, on The Garden Line, heard on the Pensacola Expert Panel every Tuesday from 9 till 10, and Encore Hour Saturday from 9 till 10 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Garden Line is presented by Barnes Feed Store, Pensacola Hardware, and Blue Sky Landscaping.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Maybe you'd like some wine with your nose. Cheese.
Wine. We'll be fine.
Good morning, 6:58 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Hunter Biden's federal tax evasion trial starts today in Los Angeles. Hunter Biden accused of failing to pay more than $1 million in federal taxes between 2016 and 2019. He will be in the courtroom for the first day of jury selection.
All right, very good, David. By the way, Scott Lunsford, the tax collector, sent in a name of a product that he recommends for the car situation underwater. R-E-S-Q-M-E, Rescue Me, R-E-S-Q-M-E. It's just a little push-button device that'll break the window or cut the seatbelt.